Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening again today and share together with you another Harvest Time Gospel broadcast. I trust that whatever you're doing, you can just kind of put it aside if it's at all possible. Get your Bible and let's study the Word of God together this morning. And then I want you to let God speak to your heart as we continue our study in the book of Acts. What a tremendous book on missions. Missions in the book of Acts. Missions in action now as we come over into the second section of the book of Acts. Again, without taking a lot of time of reviewing, let me remind you, in the first 12 chapters, the Great Commission is abandoned. Missions are abandoned, basically, in the first 12 chapters. But then when you come to chapter number 13, the Great Commission is activated. Here we find the church at Antioch hearing the voice of God and stepping out to obey it by ordaining, commissioning Barnabas and Saul and sending them to the work that the Lord has called them to do. We looked in those verses of Scripture in Acts chapter number 13 at the personnel for missions. And we found out that God calls them. He calls them out of a church and he calls them to a country or to a culture of people. And then we found that the church commissions them. They're sent out by the local church. They're supported by the local church. And then they're subject to the authority of that local church. So we saw the personnel for missions in Acts chapter number 13. But then when we come to chapter number 14, in verse number 21 down through the remainder of the chapter, down through verse number 28, we're looking at God's program for the missionary. The program of missions. What is a missionary to do when he goes to the field? And again, I want to emphasize, the work of God is too great, it's too important for God to leave it up to men's thinking. God has written us a Bible, a Word of God, the Scriptures, that we might know exactly what God's will is. You see, friend, God's Word reveals God's will. And the more we know about the Word of God, the more we know about the will of God. So here in chapter number 14, we're looking at the program that God lays out for the missionary who leaves home and goes to serve God on the mission field. And there are 10 steps in this particular program that God lays out in these verses of Scripture. And we've just been dealing with them now for the last couple of days as the Holy Spirit has led us. And the Lord willing, we will finish them on the broadcast today. But I want you to notice now, in verse number 21, the Bible said, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." And so we've been looking at these things, and we've studied thus far some six things that the job of the missionary is. I want to review them and then move on in the study of the Word of God and finish this, the Lord willing, on the broadcast today. But notice, if you will, first and foremost, and again I emphasize, the first responsibility of the missionary is preaching. The Bible said in verse number 21, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city," and when they had preached the gospel to that city. Let me emphasize it again. We do not send missionaries to the foreign field to help with agriculture or to help with the other things that might be going on as far as the work of the people is concerned. That's good, they can help in some of them, but that's that's not the purpose. We send missionaries to other parts of the world to preach the gospel, to preach the word of God. Our Lord said in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I don't care how much missionary goes and how much money spent on missions. If they are not preaching the word of God, then they miss the Bible precept of missions. He's to be a preacher, a man of God, a preacher of the word of God. So number one was preaching. Number two is teaching. And again, I say that the preaching of the word of God will bring a sinner to salvation. And then after that sinner is saved, it'll bring him to separation. And it will bring him to surrender for the principles of the word of God. But then, my friend, the second one is teaching. And teaching is used to stabilize that Christian to serve God. And so both are very much a part of the ministry of the missionary. Again, let me say for those who may not have heard it earlier, you see, preaching lays a demand at the will. Teaching enlarges and increases our intellect. So we need both of them, both here in America and around the world. So job number one of the missionary is preaching. Job number two is teaching. And then in verse number 22, we found job number three, and that is confirming the souls of the disciples. And again, I want to say this is not some religious ritual that you may have heard about in your lifetime by some religious organization. This, my friend, is to establish them in truth through just daily teaching and preaching and instructing and living before them the godly example and letting them see the reality of knowing God and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So job number one is preaching. Job number two is teaching. Then job number three is confirming their souls. Then job number four, again in verse number 22, Acts 14:22, is exhorting. And that means to encourage them, strengthen them, admonish them. What are we to exhort them? He said very plainly in this verse that the job of the missionary is to exhort them to continue in the faith. And again, let me emphasize that is much needed here in America as well as on the mission field, but especially on mission fields where people have been converted from some religion of this world to biblical Christianity, and there's such persecution, there is opposition from their family and their former associates. But the Bible said the job of that missionary, could I use a country expression, he's to stay on top of that matter and keep on continually exhorting that new convert to continue in the faith. Then number five, we saw that he has a job of ordaining elders in every church. And again, I want to emphasize, this is the word of God, and this is the will of God. And I believe every missionary that is called of God who goes to a foreign field and starts a church goes with the understanding he's not going to stay. He's a church planner, and he's going over there to lead people to Christ, to establish a church and get that church established, and then trust God to save some man and call that man to preach, and then he's going to disciple that young man, that young preacher, and now then when he comes ready, he's going to ordain elders in every church. You see, every flock needs a shepherd. Every church needs a pastor. And so God's plan is that that missionary preach, and then he teach, and he confirm the souls, and he exhort them to continue in the faith, and he ordain them elders in every church. And then I mentioned number six, the job of that missionary is to pray and fast with that new preacher. He's to let that young preacher come through some experiences of praying and fasting, bring him under his wing, so to speak, and let him learn the practical aspect of what it's like to be a man of God and to be the pastor. So his job is preaching, teaching, confirming them to their souls, exhorting them to continue in the faith, ordaining them elders in every church, spending time praying and fasting with them. And then number seven, there comes that time in the missionary's life and in the work of his ministry where he must commend them to the Lord. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they had believed. Now, here's a job that is hard sometimes in the mission work. And it's a job that we must be careful that we do not do it too quickly. Sometimes I'm afraid we want to report back a number of churches established and got their own pastor and going on until we sometimes see missionaries separate themselves from that new church and that new preacher before the new preacher and the new people are ready for him to separate. But there comes that time. You see, the job of a missionary, in one sense, is to work himself out of a job. He goes where there is no church. He leads people to Christ. He is used of God to establish that church. He spends time confirming them and exhorting them. And then he finally ordains a preacher to take over that church. He spends time with that preacher in prayer and fasting. And now then there comes a time when that missionary has to face the fact, this is not my church, it's the Lord's church. And my ministry in this church is now completed. You see, my friend, he does not hang around to be some overseer or some bishop or whatever you might want to call him who's going to keep his hand on that church and going to control or govern that new young pastor. No, he must realize it's not his church. It's the Lord's church. He's not the pastor anymore. That young man is a pastor. And he has to come to the place of commending them to the Lord. You say, what does that mean, preacher? It means there comes a time when the missionary has to say to the people and to God, I've gone as far as I can go. It's time that I step aside. It's time that I move on and start another church. And so I'm turning this one over to God. I'm commending it to the Lord. And then he steps out of the way. That does not mean he has to completely isolate himself. And he cannot give advice to the young preacher, but he simply steps from the area of responsibility and turns it over to that pastor, and that new church becomes an indigenous church, practices local or church autonomy, operates its own self without the assistance of that missionary. Now, when the missionary does this, then the next three things are very quickly. In verse number 24 through verse number 26, he returns. He leaves that place of service, and he comes home to report to his people. In Acts chapter number 14, verse number 27, he gathers the people together at the church at Antioch that sent him out and reports to them. And then in verse number 28, he spends some time there resting with the brethren. We'll look at these last three briefly on the broadcast tomorrow. Father, take the word. Use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-born privilege that we have of gathering by the radio and studying the Word of God together. Let me encourage you that you pray for the broadcast, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I encourage you that you write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. We're on several radio stations and picking up new ones as the Lord enables us to do so, and I need to hear from you. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at the same time. Tell others about the broadcast. And until the next broadcast, God bless you, is my prayer.